Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Now, officially, welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. Today is Thursday, the 29th of January 2026. So, as usual, if you are regular, then you know that this is your drive time show with Helmut on Eagle FM. That's a Home Run. From next week, that's when you will go back to Helmut and Adwaita, to use Lois's language. I'm assuming she's has left the studio by now, because if it's not the case, then I'm about to get myself murdered. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Today we have one interesting discussion, which again, look, it's also based on I don't want to say a report, you know, anti-autocratic handbook. They're basically talking about governance around the world and how, to use their language, how democracy is somewhat being eroded, and democracy is in a decline, a very steep decline. Now, for those of you that struggle to sort of like for those of you that are new to this world of politics, democracy is that thing that you keep hearing people say, what's that? The government of the people, for the people, by the people. I don't know who cooked up that definition of democracy, but it was very good. Actually, I know who cooked that definition up. Because that exact statement of the government of the people, for the people, by the people, has, is part of a very, not a very long speech. It's part of a short speech that was given, is part of a short speech. Yeah, it's part of a short speech that was given at, that was given by Abraham Lincoln on the 19th of November, 1863, a very long time ago. But the speech itself never mentions the word democracy. How we just managed to take like a part of that speech and then use it as a, as a definition for democracy. It's actually fascinating. It's like someone woke up and said, okay, how are we going to define democracy in a way that is very simple for everyone to memorize and basically turn the whole thing into a song? I know a speech. I know a very nice speech. Now, according to most parts, okay, especially in the field of, of academics of everything, governance, a lot of, there's a lot of concerns about, the decline of democracy and the rise in, rise in autocracy. It's more of a self-rule, like a dictatorship. Autocracy is like dictatorship, but on steroid. Think of a dictator high on crack. Now you are, and you have a picture of autocracy. You say democracy is going to, not democracy. The difference between, autocracy is not like democracy. Autocracy is like dictatorship, but on crack, not like democracy on crack. It's like dictatorship on crack. And I say like democracy, dictatorship on crack. That's because dictators seem for some reason to have some types of, it's like, a dictator is like someone that has a bicycle, but instead of riding that bicycle, they have it on their shoulder and they're walking with it. And what I mean by that is that if you look at a lot of countries that are, categorized as as dictatorship, some of them are just categorized as as dictatorship because of, that title was given to them by the guys that don't like them. It's like trying to get information about you from your ex-wife after a messy divorce. You're not going to get a very good picture. Now, here's the thing. Governance, when we look at governance, basically, it's very easy to understand, society is somewhat like complicated to be looked at on a governance level. That's why to make my life easier, I like to look at things more on a very personalized level. just on an individual. The plans you make versus the plans you execute. That's basically, when you understand the plans that you have made, in January, how many of us were talking about, and those of us that are maybe a little late are still talking about a New Year's resolution. It's very easy to make plans. Executing them is a whole different ball game. So, it's very easy to, to say something. Doing it is also a whole different, putting it in practice. It's putting things in practice that's the problem. So that's where you have, this is the same thing that you have on our individual level, and you have the same thing, on a group level. How many of us preach the Ten Commandments every Sunday or Saturday, whatever day you go to church, but, really. How's the practice going? Now, I'm saying this because more often when we talk about everything governance, we like to point all the fingers at politicians like they just came from Mars. No, they are not. They came from our very society that we have around us. They're from our very society. So they are basically a reflection of who we are. This is not to give them an excuse in terms of terrible legislative decision making, but I find it actually much easier to look at it from that perspective. Now, I'm saying that, and this is not just in developed countries, in developing countries, it's the world over. Making rules and executing them in practice are two widely different things. And as a result, we now live in a world where a lot of people, especially in the academic world, in much of the Western world, are saying democracy is being eroded. And a lot of, the laws that we had in place, and most of which we still have, prioritizes human rights and the collective decision making, aka instead of having a guy who was born from a very rich family and never suffered a day in his life in terms of financial suffering, aka poverty, that guy was born from an aristocratic family, and then he has never suffered in his life, but now he's going to be in charge of poor people and will be like, I was born in the right family. And the family that God gave power. I can't believe people bought that crap. Like for over 200-300 years. Even more. People actually make it 5,000 years. People believed that crap. That, God actually, there's a guy somewhere with all the power. And, did I mention the same guy also loves everyone equally? But, and then woke up and decided to give, power to only one family. And then told that family not to steal, kill, not to steal, kill, covet and all that, to not to worship idols and blah, blah, blah. Boy, did they kill. And boy, did they steal. Fornication, check. Adultery, another big check. We're talking sibling level nonsense going on here. For some reason, God didn't have a problem with that. But he had a problem when someone from a different, from a non-royal family was involved in an intimate way with someone from a royal family. You are not of blue blood. That's one of the biggest lies ever told in the history of governance. But believe it or not, there are people that believed that crap at some point. They're like, no, you can't do that because you are not royal. What's the difference? The difference is money and a twisted sense of morality. Commercial break.
At ShopRite, our low price promises to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread, only 28 Namibian dollars 99 each, and 3 kg Polana elbow pasta for only 69 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Don't worry. Just call Eagle FM. We'll help you with your marketing needs or live streaming your events. We got all that covered. All you just have to do is call 083-288-400. And your day is made just like that. Now, in the world of governance, lying is the order of the day. Again, one reason why I like my job is, because I can just call a spade sometimes when there are no defamation lawsuits involved. If there are defamation lawsuits involved, then I will just beat around the bush because, well, I don't have money for a lawyer, let alone bodyguards. So, why am I starting off with the foundation of saying something and practicing it are two different things? It's because I have several documents here with me that I'm going to run you through that we're going to use as an example before we get to the anti-autocratic handbook. About why especially the academic guys that are mostly coming out of the Western world that are saying democracy is in decline. Now the anti-autocratic handbook is basically a document that they compile to sort of like give advice to like civil society type of advice, civil society and the prioritization of human rights type of advice, and on what to do in order to combat this, the rise of autocracy and also continue promoting democracy. First of all, there are a lot of holes in that bag. But that's what we're here to talk about. Let me give you Exhibit 1, the speech where democracy came from, and then we go to the UN Charter. Actually, that's going to be my favorite part. Before we get to the autocratic handbook, anti-autocratic handbook. The autocratic handbook, there is no autocratic or dictatorship handbook because, well, there's not much about dictatorship that's known, really. I mean, I read that, I'm like... there's not much about the information about democracy is somewhat a little murky because the information is not easy to gather. Because for one, not anyone, there is not a leader in this world that would be like, yes, I'm a dictator. So what about dictating would you like to know? No, it's like every military, even those ones that are committing genocides, they are busy telling themselves each and every day that they are doing that they are the good guys. I've come to learn that as human beings, every time that we do something that is immoral somehow, we first have to find a lie that will make us comfortable, continue doing what we're doing. You'll find a bunch, the Nuremberg defense during the Nuremberg trials of Nazi Germany after the Second World War. One of the defense that those people used that basically made the Nuremberg guys go like, you have got to stop saying that, because they all kept saying, actually the majority of them kept saying, I was just doing my job. So let me just walk me through this. You needed some type of divine intervention to tell you that cutting a person open was wrong. Like, really? That's what's called natural law. Before you go to school and study law and become a barrister, whatever, an advocate, from childhood, in kindergarten, fighting is bad. Like, insulting someone is bad. Now, words versus actions. It's very easy, just take it from a personal capacity, and then you'll, once you observe it on a societal level, you'll begin to see the exact same thing. And when you look at it on a governance level, you'll realize that, governance, the word itself sounds fancy. Governance. Oh, sounds very, 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 verbose. But, governance is done by who? People, the very same people that are in their individual life very good at saying something they can't practice. We have this in our culture. We have this in our religion. We have this in our, in our friendship groups. We have this in a lot of, of human aspects. Now, on a governance level, just listen carefully. Let's hop in a time machine with me. Oh, it's reminding me of my holiday show. If you may hop in my time machine with me, I made it, So we can go first to, before we come back to the 1940s, before we come back to 1945, basically 1945, 1950s, that time period. Before we come back to that time frame of the 1940s, which looks like yesterday, let's first go to 1863. Now, these Americans are basically bombing the heck out of each other. You know, the civil war, blah, 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 going on there. You know, some are saying, you know what, abolish slavery. And some are saying, now, well, I have a bank. You know, this is planting season. My plantation needs, workers. If you abolish slavery, I'm not going to have any workers. Or I'm going to be forced to pay them instead of forcing them to work literally to death. Like, so they were divided and they started bombing the heck out of each other. And a bunch of people were killed, in one of the battles. The U.S. President Abraham Lincoln at the time goes to this place called Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. For some reason, that still sounds funny. You know, I can't stop laughing at the pencil part of that name. Now, and then they are dedicating a national cemetery to the fallen soldiers. A very noble thing to do. Fallen soldiers. Why does that sound familiar? Because we have Heroes Acre for the exact same reason. We have it in our national anthem. Land of the brave. For those that had to shed their blood so you and I can have all this freedom that makes us go, but there was nothing wrong with apartheid. Are you really? Look. I work in Clean Window. Bring back apartheid. I won't work in Clean Window. I don't want to, pass by Hilton Hotel with a pass every now and then. What do you mean it was nice? I mean, I wasn't there, but I got into the stories I have read and heard. Yeah, nope. Count me out. Not after 1975, the whole, I mean, if you have a gun, soldier that's doing his job, and doing your job is shooting school kids. Wow. Congratulations. Now, 1863. Now, during the dedication of that national, of that national cemetery of the fallen soldiers, that's where the following words were said. Compare the practice and the theory in this speech. Don't worry. I'll walk you through it. 47 years ago, a score is a period of 20 years in the same way that a dozen is a dozen means 12. We eat a lot when you're buying eggs. A dozen means 12 eggs. A decade, you have a period of 10 years. A century, a period of 100 years. Millennia, 1,000 years. So a score, 20 years. 80 years. You're welcome. Now, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. Was it new? Was it? It was new to them, not to the Indians. Like, really? A new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, minus the Indians we just butchered to basically take their land. The rest of us are created, all men are created equal. They had slaves. This is where you actually have to be very careful with language. Language is everything. Once you start demeaning someone, that is let's just quickly come back to 1994 Rwanda. Before the 1994 Rwandan genocide, what were the victims of that genocide called? They were called all kinds of demeaning names, including cockroaches, you name it. You want to know which group of people is being called that now? Palestinians. Once you hear a leader calling a group of people, a group of religious people or a tribe, demeaning names like cockroach, that is a precursor for committing a genocide. Like I said earlier, every time that mankind wants to do, this is both on an individual and on a group level. Every time a human being or a group of people want to do something immoral, they first have to tell themselves a lie that will make them comfortable continue to do that thing. 1993, a radio station was founded in Rwanda. That radio station was used to call the victims of that genocide all kinds of names, except human beings. Fast forward to 1994, just a couple of months later, a genocide was in place. So every time you hear a leader, I don't care how much you love them or how much you had, unless you are there, Kamboroto, then it's kind of hard to convince you at this point. But, now, once you start calling, there's this English phrase that goes something like, giving a dog a bad name in order to hang it. There's this very wonderful tribe that's just around you. They're just minding their own business, but you want their land. So the first thing you do is give them a name that will, will basically strip them off their humanity. Because once you take them out of the, out of the bracket of humanity, then you can do pretty much anything to them. And that's exactly what the doctrine of discovery did back in the 1480s. It started somewhere 1450s all the way to the 1480s. The first thing Gomez de Zurara did was define what a human being was. So, a human being, and this was with the approval of, with the approval of the Vatican, unfortunately. The definition of a human being back then was you had to be white and Catholic. And then, well, Protestantism takes over, but that was now in the 1500s, so Protestantism is just going bananas. And, you see the exact same thing. And now, the exact word used in the doctrine of discovery is basically is the word Saracens. It's a word that is, kafir or pagan. You see, every religion has a label for people that don't belong to them. In other words, if you don't belong to our religion, you're a kafir. In other words, we are more human than you are. In other words, if we have to kill you, then we can just kill you and get away with it because, well, some reason our God is fine. Now you are looking at two groups here. One group believes that the kafir is less human than we. And then you have that group is saying no, those are pagans. Now those ones are, well, we are more human than them. They both believe in God.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 College Feint and Margin Exercise Book for just $4.99, 80 GSM 250 Sheets Typek A4 Photostat Paper for only $54.99, and 2x40 gram Stadler Glue Stick Value Pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
Welcome back. So, we continue. Watch out for labels. That the word label is going to pop up again once we start talking about what? Autocracy. Divide and conquer. Ladies and gentlemen, divide and conquer works like a charm. So, back to 1863 speech. Well, just to get a portion of it. In a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot blah, blah, blah. Then it goes on to, it is for us, the living. They're basically, now this is, Abe, basically is bro Abe, Abraham Lincoln saying, these people did not, let's just, make sure that these people, let's change our way of thinking in terms of governance to make sure that the people that died here should not have died in vain. In other words, let's uphold the rule of law over anything. How's that going? This month alone, there are two citizens, US citizens, that were killed by the authorities, by the security clusters that is basically paid with taxpayers' money to protect taxpayers. Yeah, you just get paid with taxpayers' money and then they go out and then shoot taxpayers. Theory, very easy. Practice, day by practice. So, to understand this whole thing better, I'll take you back a couple of lines. They are dedicating a national national cemetery. So, Abe goes on to say that, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot allow, We cannot hollow this ground. Because the brave men, living and dead. But now women, before you start saying, oh, what about women? Oh, no, soldiers in 1863. A woman, you were not allowed to be a soldier. That's one thing that, well, it's a good thing. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. Now, the world will little note nor long remember what we say here. That's actually where Abraham Lincoln was wrong. Because, we are in 2026. We are in 2026. And we remember just fine. At least, relatively. Jeez. Almost 200 years later, we're talking about it. The world will little note nor long remember what we have, what we say here, but, it can never forget what they did here, aka the soldiers that died. The soldiers that fell. I like military lingo. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here for the unfinished work, which they fought here, have thus so nobly advanced. To advance nobly what they died for. It's for us, the living, to uphold and protect what the dead died for. It's 1863. Forgive the English. Now, it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from those honored dead, we take increased devotion. Oh, it's about to get delicious. We take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. Of course, the last full measure of devotion towards something is dying for it. They watered our freedom. During the liberation struggle, the men and women that fought for this country woke up every morning not knowing whether they are going to make it to the end of the day. They were not fighting with let's fight so we can eat later in mind. They were fighting for so that the future generation cannot live the life that we are living, so that they cannot wander around in the bush, so they can walk around, so they can make plans of going to the movies, so that they can make Valentine's plans, so they can have a radio station somewhere in Klein Wintuk where they can make noise, like yours truly here. That's what they died for. It wasn't for them. And for the, well, they knew that. And there are those that were unfortunate enough and they didn't, they actually lost their lives before the democratic dispensation. And there are those that, were fortunate enough and they made it. Shout out to you guys. Like, seriously. Now, here's the thing. The ultimate form of devotion. So let's wrap that up. We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation under God, yeah, right. We are back to 1863. This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. Yabo! And the government, yeah. A new birth of freedom. And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. All men are created equal. Written by a bunch of guys that owned slaves. So that means for them to basically tell themselves that lie that they were running a government that respected the rights of all men, they first have to define what constituted a man. He had to be white. And Protestant during papal, during papal Rome, and Catholic during papal Rome, Protestant, if you were living in the time period of King Henry VIII, all thing, founded the Church of England because they didn't want to give him a divorce. King Henry VIII is again one guy that went to the Pope, said, yo, bro, Pope, you know that my wife that I married, you know, that, you know, you blessed their wedding. Thank you very much for the whole blessing part. But, I don't like her anymore. Mind if I got a divorce? And the Pope was like, yeah, no, really. The big guy upstairs is not fine with that. It's not gonna be good. That was the same institution just about 100 years later. I mean, just about 100 years before that, they told the Portuguese and the Spanish that you can just go and kill a bunch of people. That's fine. And there was poor King Henry, who was just asking for a small, small divorce. They're like, no, God will not be fine with that. So hang on a second. Worship a God that's okay with a genocide, but he's not okay with a divorce. Are you high? That's why I like to say that the biggest problem with religion are religious leaders. Not non-religious people. Oh, those are the problem. Oh, no, those are problem. That's but somewhat debatable. Religious leaders, oh boy. Yeah, that's just something else. So, that was Abraham Lincoln. Now, here's the thing. Those are the words. Guys that believed in all men are created equal literally had slaves. So that means they were looking at their slaves as not humans. So you have to define. You must cook up a lie to tell yourself in order to make yourself sleep better at night. Now let's come back to the 1940s. You see, in the 1940s, it became somewhat very beautiful. Language-wise, you know, practically, again, wildly different, a different ballgame. So, UN Charter, San Francisco, 1945. Oh. Also, this document does not mention democracy, but, you know, democracy and the rule of law is something that we keep hearing, like, a lot. We, the people of the United Nations, determine. In other words, we member states, including yours truly, Namibia, we, the people of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrows to mankind, and to affirm and to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of all nations, this is my favorite part, and of all nations, large and small. Really? Let's repeat that part now, shall we? Have you ever heard of this thing called the United Nations Security Council? It's made out of big guys that don't want to share power with small guys. But the document the whole organization is founded on literally says this. We, the people of the United Nations, determined to reaffirm faith in the fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of human person, in the equality, in the equal rights of men and women, and also the equal rights of nations, large and small. What did the Canadian Prime Minister say in Davos, for example? Yeah, big guys with a big economic capability or with big economic and military capabilities, they can just bulldoze decisions to small guys. A country that can defend itself don't have a lot of options in terms of international decision making. If you are not at the table, Anthony Blinken, if you are not at the table, you are on the menu. The Chinese equivalent of that is that if you are not the knife or the chopping board, then you are the spinach on the chopping board. That's the practical reality. The theory is we are all equal before the law. Oh, really now? Are we? Again, this is not me making fun of international institutions. Okay, maybe a little bit. And this is just me pointing out where is the flaw of governance coming from well, from individual nature. And now the UN Charter goes on to say that we, the people of the United Nations, determined also to establish conditions under which justice and respect for the obligation for the obligations arising from treaties and other sources of international law to be maintained and to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. Yeah, believe me when I tell you, on paper it's delicious. In practice, here's the biggest problem. Big countries have big military capabilities and also big economic capabilities. Because of that, they have the biggest contributing chunk in terms of money to international organizations. As a result, they can easily get away with things that those organizations regulate. Because of what? Now, let's rip it up now, shall we? Because of what? Don't bite the finger that feed you. Quick commercial break. Just a break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM, the eye. Welcome back. But before we continue, let's take a live read. Call for the registration of unemployed engineers, surveyors, architects, planners, and heavy equipment operators. The Roads Contractor Company, RCC, invites unemployed qualified Namibians in the following fields to register and upload their documentations on the RCC portal. Eligible fields of qualification / expertise are civil engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, quantity surveyors, heavy equipment operators, land surveyors, architects, town and regional planners. And B, this call is strictly eligible to Namibian citizens who are unemployed and possess the aforementioned qualifications / expertise. For inquiries, contact Ms. Lizette Kakumai, Human Capital Department at 061-297-9000 or email at lizette.kakumai@rcc.com.na. Closing date, 31 March 2026. So, let's now look at autocracy and democracy. Now that we've basically looked at the whole democracy thing, the words are very easy to utter. It's the practice that's a problem. I will love you until death do us part when you're standing in front of the, when you're standing at the aisle. And the, what do you know? Next thing you know, you're standing in front of the courtroom. Oga judge, you know, I know I said until death do us part, but hey, death is taking longer. Now, what we're gonna do is, do you mind, you know, playing death, you know, so that you can just separate us? Thank you. Because, she was sweetheart, he was sweetheart, now she's, sour heart, and she's also salty heart, so we just don't want the same thing in life anymore. And my favorite part is that, you know, my favorite part about divorce statistics is that about 6% of divorced couples end up also, you know, sneaking around to see each other again. And that's because, and this is very interesting. Now, this is based on a US statistics, so don't apply it here. Now, or maybe on a social level, there could be some similarities. About 6% of divorced couple find themselves basically seeing each other again. And they try to understand why that is. There are several reasons. Those ones that end up seeing each other more often separated because of other reasons other than infidelity. It turns out infidelity for the most part is a buzzkill. But those ones that separated for things like, the other partner was an alcohol addict or a gambling addict, and they was just drowning the whole family in financial chaos. After that divorce, they just introspect and restructure their whole life to the point where they become a whole changed person. Then she or he goes, oh, he changed. I'm gonna give him a chance. So they start coming back to each other again, because the biggest part of that ruined their marriage have now been solved. They're like, okay, how about we just give this a shot? And they do. And about 30% of those get married again. It's life, just a second chance type of thing that we are looking at here. You now have to explain it to the kids. You know, when we told you that we were separating, we are re-separating again. We are unseparating again. Now, if you just do that and then you get married, please don't divorce again. Because boy, oh boy, can only imagine those kids. When you see them again for the second time, they're like, you're getting a divorce. So what's new? Now, let's get to autocracy and the biggest fear facing most parts of the Western countries and countries that have Western influence in terms of governance. That autocracy is a form of government in which one ruler has absolute control and decision-making power. Now, unlike in dictatorship, autocracy does not have much, if any, legislative structures in place as power is more centralized and in the hands of an individual or just a small group than it is the case in dictatorship. Well, the reason why I used the example of having a bicycle but you're not riding it, to describe dictatorship is having the rule of law, everything is perfect on paper, but the way that those rules are applied, because let's face it, both democratic and dictatorship regimes hold elections, we are told. How do you think those elections go? Now, and every time that we talk about dictatorship or autocracy, we like to make it look like there's just one man in that government who is the problem. No, that man has a right, left, front, and back hand man. Oh, the back part may have been a front and back, sometimes maybe both literally and figuratively. You never know. Just give me a moment to clean my mind here. Has the tendency of going straight to the sewer sometimes. Now, autocratic leadership involves the exploitation of real or, now this is the very most important part. Autocratic leadership involves the exploitation of a real or more likely fabricated enemy or threat to justify suppression of dissent and other repressive measures. Made up enemy. I remember having a whole show here. I think that was last year when I said, and this is just something that I discovered last year. Oppressive regimes lie to their own people more than they do to anyone else. Take apartheid, for example. During apartheid regime, you think the white community was told the truth about black people? No. To maintain the status quo of apartheid, apartheid had to cook up a lie about, black people. And not only, after cooking up a lie, you have to repeat it over and over again, because it turns out, if you repeat something over and over again, even if it's a lie, you begin to believe it. Now, just picture yourself, even if you are black like my tablet here, picture yourself as a white, blue eyes and blonde hair during apartheid. You went to school where you were taught that, black people are less human, and they're savages, and they're criminals, and they're lazy, and they're this and all, and all that. So especially, let's just focus on the lazy part. Black people are too lazy to do anything, to produce anything for themselves. And then he went to plantations. The people at work were black. Then he went to the houses. The people that were cooking, doing the chores, doing the dishes and all that. The people that were working in the garden. The people that were looking at the kettle. They were black. Now just compare these two contrasts. The theory that you are told and the practice that you are seeing on the ground. You are told that a black person is lazy to produce their own stuff. But when you look at most of the sectors, they are dominated. Mining. Who went in the shafts? Black people. So authoritarian regimes lie to their own people more than they do to anyone else. And here is the catch now. Actually, here is the telling tale, how you can easily tell. Let's just use a social example. Look, if I came to you, wherever you're listening from, thank you very much for tuning in. If I came to you and told you that, Dwight is this and this and this and this and this and this, but just take my word for it. Don't go and ask him. Aren't you going to be suspicious? That was apartheid. And right now, as we speak, that is the entire Western world. The West is so anti-Islam. Now, and then you ask yourself, where did they get, is it anti-Arab, is it anti-Arab or anti-Islam? Ask yourself, where did they get most of their information about Arabs from? They got it from their mainstream media for the most part. Now, did they sit around the table with Arabs to just basically ask them, you know what, according to my media, according to my school, according to my government, Arabs are this and this, are this and this and this. Is it true? No. Why? Here is where that brings us back to apartheid again. Now, authoritarian regimes are smart. If you're going to lie to your people, you're going to have to figure out a way to make them not ask more questions. Or more like not to try to find out the other side of the story. In other words, if you're going to tell, a poor white kids in the class that black people are lazy, savage and all that, you also have to add on, you have to throw in a little spice on top that tells them that you can't go and ask them about all these things that I told you about them, because they are savages. They're just gonna eat you alive. You think that kid will stand in front of a black person and ask them, this is what I'm taught about black people. Is it true? No. And that, again, is the entire Western world right now. They were told a twisted version of what Arabs are. Or just for the most part, non-whites. Non-whites are this and this and all this and all this and this and all that. And also, let me remind you, they are violent. They will, don't sit across the table from them. They will blow you up. Because they know if you sit across the table from them, you will ask questions that, of which you are going to be given answers that will make the entire narrative that was laid down in your class go crumbling down. It's a genius piece of architecture. First of all, tell a lie about the other person. And then that lie, top it up with, you can't go and ask them. Everything you want to know about them, just ask me. How do you know about, how do you know if I'm telling you the truth? Well, it's just, well, because I know. That's how. In other words, just take my word for it. Which is why, I think it was late last year or earlier this year, one Canadian guy went on TikTok and then, he went on X. He created a post where he said, I'm not sure if he's Canadian or American. He's Canadian. Something like the Canadian government is proposing to introduce Arabic numbers in our schools. Boy, oh boy. People went bananas. And then they started complaining, why do these people want to introduce Arabic numbers in our schools? That's how you know these people, the Arab, these people don't have, these people were lied to about everything Arabic. Because if they were told the truth, they would have known the 1, 2, 3, 4 numbers we use now are Arabic. But because of that, they were not given the definition. They were not given, the real identity story of an Arab. They were given a false one. Where do you think words like algebra and parallelogram comes from? If you think they're from Latin or English, they're not. They're Arabic. So, that pained me a lot. Actually, I laughed. That's my, that's how I deal with tense situations, especially emotional tense. I write my best jokes when I'm going through chaos. Now, here's what happened. Grown men and women, in 2025, 2026, went to school. Some of them, as you can imagine, with advanced degrees, had no idea that they were counting in Arabic numerals. Again, that takes us back to who? It takes us to Noam Chomsky. Propaganda is to democracy what violence is to dictatorship. In a dictatorship, if you ask a question, you get killed. You get tortured or killed. But in a democracy, when you ask a question, you get lied to. That's Noam Chomsky's analysis, not me. Which I have, I believe him. Because the bottom line is whether you are running a democratic or dictatorship governance, you have to maintain control somehow. Again, there's nothing wrong with lying. At least not entirely. Let me give you an example. Every parent lies to their kids. That does not make them bad parents, depending on the lie that they're telling. Kids ask a lot of questions. Your kid comes to you, a poor 10-year-old, they ask you, Mommy, how are babies made? Are you going to come up with a step-by-step presentation with your projector? Because that kid is going to be traumatized for life. So, you have to literally lie to them. Because you know, no good is going to come out of telling them the truth. That way, lying is a good thing. It's not black and white. That's my family law lecturer's line. It's not black and white. It's never black and white. They're always, gray areas. So, where are we? Autocratic leadership is observed by at least the guys in the academic world, and they're saying, my God, it's spreading and democracy is dying and all these things. Before I get to what they are proposing as a solution to counter the decline, the democratic decline, and the rise in autocracy. Just one thing to point out. The reality on the ground is a lot of Western countries are waking up to the reality that a lot of non-Western countries have been living in. Take the Greenland thing, for example, that's freaking out the entire Western Europe. They're scared of seeing bombs, blowing up all over Greenland. Why? I guess it's very easy to blow up a country, when you hear of war, if you hear about war in another country, you will never get a full picture of what's taking place in that country. You will never get a full picture. Hop on a plane, land in that country, then you'll get a full picture. Wars are chaotic. And the worst part about wars is you don't have a definite plan about where you are going to be and when. You don't have a lot of that. Because you can make a schedule right now, I can just get out of this studio and decide, you know what, I'm going to go and see a movie before I go home. And I can do that. But my bank account is looking at me and going, yeah, of course you will. Oh, of course you will. In theory, but in practice, nah. Let's take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. 24 minutes left to the hour of 6. That's when I, pack my bags and run for my life. But so until then, you're stuck with me for now. But before we continue with the whole governance chaos that is freaking out the most part of the... But here's... The question I want to ask these guys is, when you are making these military coalitions and toppling governments, and then prepping up dictators so that your private companies can have access to those toppled governments, countries' resources, what do you think the people in those countries were going through? They were going through exactly what you are scared of, that it's spreading. It's not spreading. It's been there. It just never impacted you in the way that it's threatening to impact you now. All of a sudden, there are reports produced. Don't produce it. Just sit. And then have a taste of your own medicine. The Iranians in 1953, actually before that, I think it was about 3 or 6 years before that, they voted in their own president who they elected democratically. because it, you know, that leader's new policies did not align with the Anglo-Iranian, aka BP's economic interests, the British and the Americans, overthrew the guy. They literally put a dictator in place who oppressed the Iranians for 20 plus years. After the Iranian revolution in 1979, they kicked the guy out of office, and a bunch of Westerners are asking themselves one question. Why do the Iranians hate us? I wonder why. I don't know. Maybe just, well, put a dictator. What do you think dictators do? They kill everyone that ask questions they don't want asked. They lived in a regime like that for 20 plus years. Do you have an idea what that does to you? It screws with your head. So, if there is any Iranian who is crazy, it's because, okay, anyone else can complain. The Americans and the British, you guys can't complain. Maybe the French can to some degree and anyone else, but the Americans and the British, you can't. You can't complain. Canadians, you guys can complain. The Scandinavian countries, you guys can complain. But the British and the Americans, you guys cannot complain. You have just had Trump since last year. Actually, for the second time. Since last year. I think of combined time frame that you are going to have Trump is what? Like, you know, 10 years? With a little bit of breaks apart. The Iranians did not have that privilege. For 20 plus years. Non-stop violence. The Indonesians went through the same thing. Just around the same time, 1953, when they got rid of, is it Sukarno, and then replaced him with a gentleman, with a guy by the name of Suharto. And Sukarno, one of them was democratically elected, and then he was toppled, and the other was now just put in place because, and the thing is, the same thing with, we saw with Mobutu Seseko, you know. Once the democratically guy is taken out of power, the guy that comes in place goes full dictatorship from day one. Thomas Sankara and Compaoré, Patrice Lumumba and Mobutu. Same story. Oh, then also my favorite homies like Sani Abacha. Yeah, that's Nigeria. Now, before we continue, let's take a live read. The University of Namibia informs students that online hostel registration for 2026 opened on the 12th of January and will run until 27 February 2026. Only students who applied for residence and received official placement confirmation may register online. Access to hostel will not be granted without proof of residence registration. Students placed on waiting list may be considered if spaces become available. For assistance, students are advised to contact their respective resident offices. Moving on. In the name of interest, in the name of profit, politicians in the West have always sided with the U.S. foreign policy of wherever their interest is, they are going to get it, cost what it may. And more often, they have been known to basically overthrow legitimate governments and then replace them with the chicken puppets that they can control, one that's in line with their interest. And even that guy who is in line with their interest, if they get out of line with their interest, they're going to be kicked out of that office. Noriega, Panama. 1989, 1990. Noriega worked perfectly with the CIA. And that's, by the way, is public knowledge. Causing all the chaos, giving the Sandinistas a headache. If you want to get a tiny interesting picture, now this is just my own perspective. If you want to get a tiny interesting picture of, over Noriega, the Sandinistas, and the CIA, basically the U.S. government, how they played a very nice hate triangle, love-hate triangle there, back in the 1980s. You will slowly begin to understand what's going on in the Sahel region right now. Very interesting. nice correlation. There's a bunch of similarities that you can easily draw from those two events. Because the Sandinistas took over Nicaragua because, well, the now, when they did, the American companies that lost their land did not like that. So they ran back to Daddy, hired a bunch of armed guys to come and basically start fighting them. But now, well, they took over their countries. How do you fight them? By using their neighbor. Works like a charm. This is in the 1980s. And you're complaining about dictatorship now? Yeah, come on, give me a break. So, proposed solution, again, my take is going to be, these guys did not see anything wrong with the dictatorship until the chicken came home to roost. Then all of a sudden, we have, how many pages this document? Commercial breakfast.
Shoprite e o vane go jitaro go go bidropo o na o limo pumbe o kene o droke ge moyanuari o ino shironga mi pumbi wangashi o harama materera tano to kanzo pi komputa yo rama original ko dromira go mpa dina ge tatu no seno bin go go ino go ningo ke jin da to dopora na elbu pasta ko dromira go khamano no go ino senda o mira go go ino go tani na pano shoprite po pi pinango e dere pi kusa januari no fani sa dingi ziriko si go gahita to ga februari no vo shoprite ko ndando dire pe vinto vro ko ine kra Roje.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Welcome back. We continue. So, this whole autocracy discussion, if you ask me, if we really wanted to have this discussion, we would have had it way back. But again, when you are benefiting from something, well, I mean, we make the same jokes about corruption here in Namibia. Corruption is only bad when I'm not benefiting. But when I'm benefiting, it's not bad. Well, that's basically the entire Western world for about 80 years that they've been benefiting from American hegemony. Now that the American hegemony is, they're on the receiving end of things, now they are pointing out what's wrong with the hegemony. But when they were on the benefiting side, they barely raised their hand. Again, what that shows is, when they were benefiting, they didn't call it corruption. But now that the benefits have, well, gone out through the window, all of a sudden they're like, oh, corruption. You know, this whole thing that you guys have been singing for 80 years, that it's evil, it turns out it really is evil. We didn't know it was evil. Well, why didn't you know it was evil? Well, we're making money from it. Well, we knew it was evil, but we just didn't point at it because we could have lost our privilege. Yeah. We know. Now, am I saying it's okay for autocracy to take over the world? No. I'm just saying, human beings, we just never learn. We just never learn. Every time someone is going through chaos, developed countries have set and enjoyed years of US hegemony. They knew a lot of things that were going wrong. And again, let's keep going back to, to Angelina Jolie's interview, interview with that, Turkish filmmaker and photographer. She thought before working for, before getting into the international humanitarian space, she thought international law is applied equally to everyone. She thought the benefits of international institutions and accountability coming out of international law is applied equally. And then she worked in the humanitarian space for 20 years and came out and realized, yeah, nothing can be further from the truth. There are benefits for those, but not those people. There are human rights for those, but not those people. Take the US for example. Gun violence. When the shooter is white, is an isolated incident of a mental health issue. When the shooter is non-white, especially if they are black or Middle Eastern, these people are just naturally violent. Really? The whole community? It's a citizen, all of them. All of them. You see, this is the violence we are telling you about. These people are just savages. All of them. So when a white guy does it, he just had a terrible childhood. Really? Black person can't have a terrible childhood? No. Those ones are just naturally violent. You know what makes it worse? Mainstream media parrots that nonsense. Again, this is why I started, this is why I started with the individual introspection of the way that we behave. When we benefit from something, we don't see what's wrong with it. Until the benefit stops, that's when we start pointing at it. Actually, that's the whole reason why I like to watch documentaries instead of mainstream media. Because everyone that watches documentaries, especially geopolitical, economic documentaries, knows that the people that are being interviewed there are former politicians. They are not in place where speaking the truth threatens their salary anymore. All those guys will tell you the truth. Like, you know, when I was in office, we were doing this and this and this. That's Mike Pompeo, the former CIA director. In an interview, I was like, well, they say, tell the truth. But when they say we lied, we cheated, that was on national TV. National or private. All I know is he was on a public platform, mainstream media news, saying, well, this whole international law thing. Yeah, well, we lie, we cheat, we do this. And there's another idiot who was asked, have we toppled governments? It was like, yeah. And then there was a follow-up question of, are we still doing that? And he was like, well, the question was, we don't do that anymore, do we? And his response was like, yum, 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 yum. Seriously. He said, yum, yum, yum. In other words, yeah, we're still doing it. Again, if your answer to are we still doing it is nyam, 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 when you topple a democratically elected leader and replace them with a dictator, that dictator is going to cause a lot of pain, both literally and figuratively, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, physically, to those people. And dictators have been known to rule for an extended period of time, aka 10, 20, 30 years. Again, what do you think that does to the people of that country? Short answer, nothing good. And again, I will reckon that a lot of Western countries are complaining about dictatorship and autocracy now because the chicken have come home. Roast. Yeah. You remember the news headlines coming out of Ukraine back in 2022? Some of the most racist news headlines came out of that, came out of mainstream media in the beginning of, at the beginning of the war. At the beginning of that war. They are just shooting these people. Yeah, that's how wars work. People shoot at each other. People blow each other up. I think I've watched way too many documentaries of of the late British journalist Robert Fisk, and the American independent journalist Jeremy Scahill, and now you have the former New York Times reporter. I think it was a war correspondent for the Middle East. No, that was Robert Fisk for the Guardian. For the Guardians, I believe. You have Chris Hedges. I say, going through the works of these guys, and Noam Chomsky, going through the works, Norman Finkenstein, now there is a man who knows how to hold the interviews. You have Norman Finkenstein. Oh, throw Ian Pappy in there, my favorite philosopher. You read too much of the works of these guys, you begin to see through the bullcrap of mainstream media and start going, So, let me get this straight. War in other countries is okay. At war in your country is bad. War is bad in any country. War is bad in any country. But if you are sitting in an air-conditioned room talking about it on screen, you can say, oh no, it was Robert Fisk who told, is it Blackwater? There are two Jeremy Scahill documentaries that he, that he also wrote books on. Shadow World is stuck in my head, I swear, but that's South African. Now, there's one where he's interviewing Robert Fisk, and Robert Fisk explains how he was sending, he was working for, he was a war correspondent, so he was sending news to England. So he's sending news to the UK, and they're saying no, we can't put this on TV. Well, this is too graphic. And it's like you can't put it on TV because it's too graphic. Well, guess what? The kids here don't have that luxury. They can't say, we can't watch that. We can't watch our parents die because it's too graphic. Because they live in that reality. But if you're watching it on TV, it's easy for you to just switch it off. But if you live in a war zone, you can't switch off a war zone. You just have to survive it. If you live in a country that has an army that is on paper dedicated to protecting the rights of the people, the safety and security of the country, but in practical reality, they are running around the world protecting private company interests, cost what it may. And we saw that with Venezuela. Just storm in, kidnap the president, bomb a bunch of people, and then the next week, just gather a bunch of executives and tell them, you know what, well, the oil is ready, ladies and gentlemen, so let's just go and get it. I have one question. You think the people of Venezuela are just going to say, oh, yeah, do you please come in? John Stewart did a show on it, that there are gangs. There were gangs running around Venezuela. I'm not sure if they're still doing the same thing now. They were just looking for any American they can find. What they did to them, nothing good. Well, here's the thing. If you read the history of education, we have 3 minutes. The standardized education we have today, it's coming out of 1700 Prussia, now Germany. They invade Poland and they realize that, they've conquered them militarily, conquering them mentally and socially is a whole different ballgame. So you can drop bombs in a country and basically, bring them to their knees. But you walking around, safely walking around in that country after that, oh no, that's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. So, then they came up with a proposal now. How do we stop, proposed solution for the whole autocracy discussion. The proposed solution is, let's just write this book called, let's compile a document that we are going to call Anti-Autocracy Handbook. And this is a call to action, collective defense of democracy, truth and academic freedom in the face of mounting authoritarianism. Huh? You have been running around the world planting authoritarianism. Now that it's authoritarianism is slowly coming home, less collective again, with who? Well, that's the question I'm going to be asking. Let's collectively come together and defend democracy. You've been toppling democracy. What do you mean, let's do all of a sudden, now that authoritarianism is coming home? Now, I'm still advocating for let's come together and defend democracy. I'm just pointing at this because for a very long time, a lot of Western countries have avoided a conversation, you know, avoided conversations like this. But dictatorship is slowly coming home. And now they are like, can we please band together and fight authoritarianism, please? And every country that they have been imposing authoritarianism on, they're like, this is new to you guys? Not us.
When life gifts you an unexpected expense.
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 90,000.
Welcome back. And now, that, the anti-autocracy handbook, they are pointing out something interesting the anti-autocracy handbook provides guidance to scholars navigating the growing global trend of democratic backsliding and autocratization, in particular in the US. I'm like, aha, it's coming home. Now you're complaining. No, not yet. Just have a taste of it. And unfortunately, right now, that's the situation in the US. And unfortunately for my fellow soccer lovers, I like soccer a tiny bit. But for those of you that like it much, I don't know how the World Cup this year is going to look like. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You all have a blessed evening.